right, here we go. Episode 2 of the Geoholics podcast, designed for geomatics professionals. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you taking the time to check us out. Hopefully we provide you with enough content that you'll continue to listen to us, because we, of course, if you listen to episode 1, set the bar extremely high with Abraham Lincoln.
Literally set
as
high.
Our
6'5", with the hat at 18.
I'm like, I almost tripped over it.
I don't even know if we can top that, but we're going to try. We've got an amazing guest today, of course. The intro music is the Black Moods. They're a local band right here in Phoenix, Arizona, the official band of the Geoholics podcast.
Is it Josh Jordan and Chico?
Josh Jordan and Chico.
Man,
you
now,
got it.
Now yep. I got it.
You're like two podcasts in and you know the entire band.
Now I'm a fan.
Just wait till we get him here as a guest.
No way.
That might top Abraham Lincoln. We'll see. But we'll work on that. Also, we need to plug Social Hall, the venue that we record each and every podcast at. The cool thing is that on August 21st, Executive Chef
Jason Diaz.
Jason,
I got all
Diaz.
The names down.
Yeah, look at you.
No notes
you guys
needed.
You don't even need me anymore.
No.
So he's releasing a new menu, August 21st. If you guys have been here before, you know that his food is absolutely amazing. A couple things on the new menu includes octopus, stuffed sopapillas, collini, and other vegetarian options. And, of course, he's got probably half a dozen spins on macaroni and cheese, including one with lobster and another with carnitas.
And you've personally tasted all of these.
I have not. I can't say that I did.
You got to wait till the 21st. That was a trick question.
Well, no, there's some of these things have been on the menu for quite some time,
okay.
So they're repetitive. But the octopus and the stuffed sopapillas, in addition to a Sonoran dog.
There now you got my
now
attention.
I got your attention. Yeah.
Now I'm in.
So of course the Social Hall is located at the northeast corner of University and McClintock in beautiful Tempe, Arizona. Please come by and check them out. Let's catch up with the boys. It's been a bit since we chatted, at least a week, right?
Yep, sure has.
So, what's the latest, producer Jake?
You know, not a whole lot since the last episode. Just continuing to record episodes, post them, and grow our audience.
Yeah, you've done an amazing job. Ryan and I were just talking about it. We were just talking about it the other day, like we talked about in our demo podcast. We've been talking about doing this podcast for months. And I look around now and I see cables running everywhere, microphones, headphones, laptops. I'm like, dude, we never would have pulled this off.
No, there's no way.
There's no way.
Absolutely not.
There's no way.
It would have been dead on arrival. We'd be still talking about it.
So the fact that this podcast exists is as a result of Jake, and we can't thank you enough, buddy.
Now we just need you to talk more.
Sure, yeah.
That's all. You've done all the setup. Now it's time to deliver.
It's hard when I'm back behind the knobs back here.
Back behind the knobs.
Yeah.
You never want to be behind the knobs.
He's running the ones and twos over here.
How about you, buddy? Ryan, what's going on?
Dude, I'm waiting for the Mets to fully collapse.
What? What are you talking? They're like, aren't they 18-2?
Yeah, so
in the
hot.
Last...
McNeil's hurt. The wheels are falling off. They had the Braves. That buzzsaw that is Atlanta.
Yeah, aren't they like 18-2 in the last 20 games or something?
Yeah,
they've made an unbelievable run.
Off a few. They're in it. Now all those people that said they were crazy for not going for it or not selling everybody, now they're okay.
Yeah, the National League, it's going to be right down to the wire, I believe.
Yeah, well.
Are Diamondbacks?
No.
They're hanging in there.
As long as they have Archie in the bullpen, they're screwed.
A really funny stat that I saw is that run differential.
Oh, yeah, they're...
The Diamondbacks are like plus 76.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all that back end of the bullpen.
Ugh, brutal.
Back end of something.
Brutal.
But as long as the Cubs are hanging on, there's nobody in this room that has any problems with the Cubs, I don't think.
Well, there might be one.
From what I may have heard.
Yeah. From what I understand, our guest today is a diehard St. Louis Cardinals fan, which it's tough for me to swallow as a Cubs fan, but he's a pretty cool guy, so
You'll give him the pass?
I'll give him a pass.
I'm still pissed off at Carlos Beltran watching Strike 3 a decade plus ago. Those damn Cardinals. No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
We're over it now. Now it's the Royals in 15 that I'm upset with. So, just that Midwest sucks.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting, no doubt. So, again, thanks for listening. We really, really appreciate it. A couple housekeeping items. Our numbers of downloads is increasing, like I mentioned in the beginning, which is fantastic. You can access the podcast via our website, which, of course, is thegeoholics.com. You can also access the podcast on iTunes. Believe it or not, just search The Geoholics. And something else that we may not have mentioned before is that we now have a Twitter page.
Oh, we mentioned it.
We did mention it.
We did. T Geoholics, but it's The Geoholics.
Oh,
search
just
it,
search
you'll find
right.
it.
T Geoholics. That's right.
We will definitely be posting pictures of all our fun guests.
That's awesome.
Know, the last one is a little shocking.
Yep.
This guy, I don't know if he's more or less handsome than Abraham Lincoln. I don't know. Abraham was
used
a little.
To be handsome.
He downplayed his face a little bit. This guy is definitely not doing that.
Well,
I get by on my charm.
When I look at our guest, here's what I think of: Brad Pitt and Carrot Top. Have a love child.
Dude, he's got the body of the Carrot Top right there.
He's got the hair.
Oh yeah. Well, that's just a given. If you say Carrot Top, it means there's that hair.
Oh god.
Now you
so
just
got to
grow it out. It's not too hot for that hair.
I try to grow it out, but it's just like, nah, I'm not gonna do that.
Does it get all curly or what's it look like?
Nah, it just looks like the top of my head without hair. Every time I'm like, oh, I'm gonna grow it out, and then I'm like, oh no, I guess I'm not.
That was a terrible
idea. I get pissed
idea.
Off when I'm drunk. I look like shit.
Well, let's no further introduction, I guess. Let's run down some information on the guest.
Let's do that. So our guest today, before we introduce the legend,
this is in my eHarmony profile, right?
He's well. Born in Arizona, am I right on that one?
Yes, sir. Florence, of all places.
Ooh,
two
man and a woman,
two beautiful daughters.
Yes, Ava and Celine.
And any other children that?
I'm sure there's one out there.
There's got to be a couple.
There could be a 14-year-old show up from Mexico. Yeah. I've seen it
happen
before.
I don't accept friends. Anyone I don't know on Facebook, I'm like, nah.
There's a pattern there. That's all I'm gonna say. Been serving for close to 20 years.
Yep.
Fantastic. Is it true that you completed the land survey program at Phoenix Community College with John Rose?
Yes, I did.
They didn't kick you out before you were done?
No, they just went ahead and ended the program. They're like, that's enough of that.
But this guy coming, yep, there goes the doors.
John Rose is one of the nicest human beings.
He was. I worked for him for a little while, and we got along great. I mean, I clash with him sometimes, but that's just...
Yeah, he's just such a cool guy.
Well, that whole profession dying is the reason we kind of started this idea, so
it
makes sense. Let's build on it.
And John Rose was so passionate about the, about the profession.
He's freaking smart, dude.
He is.
He taught me a lot.
Yep. Licensed in Arizona and Colorado to practice land surveying?
Yes. I never used the Colorado one. That was a company I was at. We did a lot of work in other states, and I started... Oh, I'm going to start collecting licenses. And I was like, I'm going to go do my own thing instead.
Yeah. I thought that was your exit plan to get out of this heat.
Nah, Colorado sucks. They don't go up there. It's
not cool. Not a fan of Colorado, right? What about the cannabis? That's got to be a positive.
Dude, I don't smoke. I just...
No?
Nah, dude. I'm like, I like being high strung. This is fun.
The alcohol's legal everywhere.
Being on
this
edge all the time.
This
like,
is
when's
you
the
naturally.
Snap?
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. So
currently you own... Evans Professional Land Surveys?
I do. I am the owner.
The owner and proprietor?
I'm the head ginger in charge.
Are you also the admin, janitor, everything?
Yeah, I do everything. Actually, I hired housekeepers for the office and everything because I'm like, I can't keep up with my daughters, man. They trash time.
I like how he says the office.
Yeah,
it's like one 13 by 13 room in my house. I'm like, hey, this is where all the magic happens.
So is it working from home, is it hard to be disciplined sometimes?
You know what? When I actually am at home and try to work from there, I find myself distracted a lot. Like, oh, I got to take out the garbage, or, oh, you know, I'm hungry. I'm going here. Like, oh, let's go out in the backyard. Oh, I need to take my truck to the dealer. So I work out of my truck almost 100%.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Tim probably has one of the most amazing survey rigs I've seen. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I put quite a bit of loot in that.
It's
got the laptop mount, like the cops. I've got strobes. It's got Wi-Fi. I mean, like, you name it, I can do it.
It's
inverter with every... I mean, I'm waiting for it to catch fire. It's probably on fire right now.
That's someone dead.
That's that glow in the parking lot. As we mentioned, Tim is also a diehard St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Ugh.
How did that happen?
Mark McGwire. Used to follow him in. When
that
I grew 70 up
home
here,
run?
No, it was before that. When I grew up around here, all we had was... radio channels. I had 910 KTAR, and we got Oakland A's games. So I started following baseball, and Mark McGwire, collecting baseball cards. Next thing you know, he gets traded to the Cardinals. I'm like, oh, that's my fucking team now, I guess. And turns out, I'm like, oh, yeah, that ended up pretty good. I ended up getting his autograph. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
I went to a Padres game rocking my St. Louis Cardinals gear on his birthday.
Nice.
He's like the hitting coach or something, right?
Yeah, he's the hitting coach at the time. And he said, if you're a prior military or whatnot, stand up and be recognized, stand up. He pointed at me. I was like, happy birthday. You know, like, turned around, showed him the wire on my back. He threw me a signed baseball.
That is awesome.
And I called my parents, like, oh my God.
Well, you mentioned it. We got to ask, what's the prior military?
I was in the Navy.
Okay. So. From Arizona, joined the Navy.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I walked into the Air Force, and he wasn't there, so I went to another Navy guy. I was like, hey, where's the Air Force guy? And then I was on the ship.
Yeah, out of San Diego, or
at least close to home. So they sent me off to Chicago, and that was my first experience with a freaking blizzard. Oh, people falling all over the place and dislocating shoulders and lake weather. I'm like, I want to go.
So they shipped me
to San Diego, and I was like, this is fun over here, you know.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of a party scene there in San Diego.
Yeah, but you know, when I was, I think I was 19 when I was over there. Yeah, I was 19. So.
Okay.
I was like, this is fun. I know orange line goes north, blue line goes south.
That's all you need to know. You can get everything.
Get on that trolley and go up to the mall. And and Tijuana, I got arrested down there. That was interesting.
Oh, boy.
So, one other tidbit.
Do we open that can of worms?
No, I don't. It was hard to get rid of.
One other tidbit about Tim is he has a dog named Trimble.
That's dedication.
Is that freaking cool?
That is dedication.
That's me getting a dog and being like, what am I going to name him? Oh, it's a survey dog. What do you got? Oh, it's Trimble.
That's the closest thing to you. Done.
That is so awesome.
He's still kicking, too, just like my...
Well, you take him on the field with you.
All the time. He loves it, man. If I start loading up in the morning, he'll come in and nudge me. He'll just look at me like, am I going today? Man, he's getting a little older now. I don't take him out as much because I don't want him to, you know, die.
No. The heat's a little rough on him.
That wouldn't be any good. So let's kind of get into the nitty-gritty of this.
Okay.
How did you get into surveying?
So when I first got out of the Navy...
Everybody's got a story.
Yeah, when I first got out of the Navy, I was doing just random jobs, pest control, and I think I did air conditioning for a minute, like not like the cool air conditioning, putting ductwork into ceilings, which is hot work. And then a buddy of mine had a neighbor who was a surveyor. And at the time, I was like, no, I'm going to go be a cop. I tested for MESA, like of all people, me, a cop. And I go, right, let's see that stuff that happened today. Anyway,
that Tijuana never happened.
Right? I don't want to talk about it. So anyways, he's like, hey, you want to come be a surveyor? And at the time, I was making like $10.50 an hour at the pest control place I was at. And I was like, what the hell is a surveyor? Next thing I know, I'm pounding rebar in. And these giant subdivisions and stand in the middle of intersections like, we're supposed to do this?
It was kind of the right time, though, around here to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that would have been right in 2000. Yeah, right in 2000. I was almost 21.
Who were you working for?
I was working for a company called Ross & Associates, a guy named John Ross.
And he had
a little, just like me, a home office out in Gold Canyon.
Yep.
Started there, and I kind of just jumped company to company.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. What did you do to survive the 2008 crash?
I left a company called V3, and at the time I made this huge decision when everything was crashing. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to stick with this. And I was at Phoenix College taking courses, and John Ross told me, John Rose told me, we have an opening coming up. Okay, so at MCDOT, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go work for you guys, I guess. So I applied for it, and I went and I killed the interview. I'm smart, no matter what persona I give off, I'm smart. So I ended up getting the offer, but it was for, almost an $8 an hour cut. But we can all see the writing at the wall at the time. So I was like, some money's better than no money. So I went to work there for almost 2 years. I got my LSIT, it's funny because I came in the day after my LSIT. I walked into his class. When I walked in, I was hungover from the night before from celebrating it.
You got that done.
And I walk in, and he wasn't there. So I was like, oh, substitute, cool. So I was like, you guys are looking at the newest LSIT. And the whole class applauds. And I walk to the back class, and there's John Rose sitting in the back row.
Hi, John.
Whoops.
So I went to work for him and ended up getting my LS. And a year or so into it, they're just... You know, they had a wage freeze. $18 an hour is an LS. I'm like, no.
Nah.
I ended up taking off to Idaho and all these. I moved around quite a bit once I got my LS. I'm like, I'm going to go wherever I get money. So
So you left the state for a little bit?
Yeah. That was kind of cool. I mean,
got some
except for the Badgers up in Idaho. Cool. Those things are giant.
It always calls you back.
Right?
This state will get you.
Yeah. And at that time, I had my oldest daughter, and she was about 2 or 3. I forget how old she was, but so I was coming back every other weekend anyways. I'm like, I'm coming back to raise my kids. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yep, absolutely.
So, like, Badger's the most dangerous thing you've encountered out on the streets, or is it other people?
Until today.
I know we've seen some videos.
Until today, yeah. I mean, I've seen javelina snakes and, I don't know, like, random people that just start yelling at you and calling you racist.
You are kind of a legend around my house because you live close enough to me that you popped up on my Ring video doorbell.
Oh, do you see that
when
video
somebody
where
tried to take your truck? You got out there and you were like, no!
I ran out there like bald and barefoot and mad and knocked the mirror off that car.
Not in that order. Like,
if you could have seen the guy's face in when I hit that mirror and busted it into pieces and they tore out of there, I'm like, yeah, I was pretty upset.
So not only did Ryan see it, but that actually made the news.
I looked not too long ago. I think it had almost 80,000 views.
Wow, that's it. Come on, you can do better than that. Dude, I think today might
today's
top
gonna
that.
Top
I know
that.
Well, absolutely. It's funny because the incident today with the guy, I sent that to the same news guy that came out that day. I'm like, dude, check this out.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I'm like, I'm pissed off. That guy was a dick.
He's that's on your awesome. He's on your Christmas card list now, the guy at the news.
You know, it's bad enough to just be an asshole anyways and drive like a dick, but then to turn around and like pull the racist bigoted rant.
Yeah, we should probably dive into for the listeners.
We should get some background
the video
on
it.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get too deep into this, but Tim had an encounter today with a pedestrian who was driving too fast for conditions while Tim was out in the middle of an intersection.
He rolled by me at like 60 while I was standing in an intersection, dressed in green and all kinds of colors. I'm colorblind, so I don't really know what I was wearing, but I mean, like. And you yell at someone, you slow down, especially after. Right. I mean, we all know it's not safe out there. It's not fun out there. I don't like it. I think it's the worst part of our job, and there's got to be a better way to do it.
There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way.
You know, to come to a screeching halt and come marching back like this guy did, and not to be like, hey, you know, F you back, you know. That's how I thought it was going to go when he got out of his car. I didn't think it was going to be this racist tirade from a black guy, no less, and me being white. I'm like, oh, my God.
I did not mean to start this.
Yeah,
I said slow down. I didn't.
This didn't go
how
I think it was
going
to go. I want to go home and sleep now.
But I mean, in all seriousness, though, I mean, anybody who's listening to this show that, you know, has spent time working out in the field and, you know, getting in the middle of intersections is something that we unfortunately have to do on a regular basis. Super, super dangerous, and we got to be aware at all times. One thing Tim started doing not too long ago was actually wearing a body cam. And I'm like, that is freaking genius.
I've posted tons of videos of like close calls I've had. Like every time I go out into a major intersection, now after today, probably every intersection, I'll turn it on, just fire it up and go out there, you know. And you'll hear me out there, you know, rustling around, doing whatever I do. Because in Arizona, we're different where there's guys like me who do work by themselves. And if I get mopped out there, I want someone to be like, know what happened.
Held responsible for their actions.
Ken knows as well as anyone. Like this is that is the most dangerous thing to
absolutely.
Us
absolutely.
So I'm like, there's no way that I'm gonna let that happen to me and my daughter's family, friends, whatever, not know what.
Yep.
And then the flip side of that coin is I've caught some stuff on there that is pretty wild.
So you're saying the drivers and stuff like that are going to be more dangerous than rattlesnakes and all that stuff?
Oh,
you guys are in the city more than you're out in the desert.
I've been on sidewalks, and they've almost run up on sidewalks while I'm walking. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You know, I just sit at a desk all day.
Yeah, well, that's what I tell people, you know, as a surveyor. And, you know, I've got guys out in the field every single day. You know, the one thing that we're trying to control is uncontrollable, and that's people. You know, people are so distracted in society today, in addition to, you know, always being in a hurry and everything else. And it's scary. But the body cam idea, I think, is genius. And
I think it was like $150.
Is it just a GoPro? Yeah.
It's just, oh, man, you know, I left it in the truck. It's similar to GoPro. It's almost the same one the cops wear. They just clip it on, and you just hit a button, and it starts recording.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's genius. So anybody listening, you know, I think, you know, if you send guys out in the field or if you work in the field yourself and are out in the middle of intersections or any other situations where, you know, traffic is a concern, I mean, the body cam idea is absolutely genius. So.
And, you know, I was, you know, almost 20 years in this. I'm like, I was that guy. Well, I don't care. I go out there in shorts and tennis shoes and nothing.
Exactly.
And now that I've gotten I'm like, hell, I'm in work clothes now. You know, I'm like, I go out there dressed in neon in a vest, and I got a camera. I have cones, you know.
You're always glowing.
Going, and it still doesn't work, man. I mean, like,
yep.
There's nothing you can really do, but you got to do as much as you can.
Yeah. So. Well, to change gears a little bit, what skill besides your amazing personality has allowed you to succeed? Not only working with all these companies, but on your own now.
You know what? I've found that I like to be busy. I just don't. There, having your own company is insane. There's always something to do. And I mean, I've actually thought about since we've been sitting here, like something. Oh man, I need to make sure I do that when I get back to that truck. You know, before I even came in here, I sat for an hour and a half in my truck doing billing and answering emails and everything. But I like being busy, and I think that's one of the best things that's helped me. Is that I don't mind working, I don't mind being busy, but being busy for myself is a lot different than being busy for, you know, someone's paying me 75, 80 a year, whatever.
Just a little more fulfillment to it.
You know, like, and when I send an email, I'll be like, hey, you really need to take care of this bill. I'm like, I really fucking mean it. Like, you need to pay me because I have, you know, an electric bill and I got a dog that eats and now I got a cat I get stuck with. Thank you very much, ex-girl. You know, so that the biggest thing to me is that being on my own is a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be, but it's still been manageable because I have a better work ethic than even I thought I had. Mm. Like, I'll do it. I mean, it needs to be done. Who else is going to do it?
Mm. Well, there's definitely pros and cons. Yeah. And one of the things that I respect about you in all seriousness is your just being resilient. You know, I know that you've worked for large companies and small companies and, you know, had some really good experiences, had some really shitty experiences, but I think you've settled into something that that works really, really well for you. I'm sure that when it comes to, I'm sure cash flow is probably one of the biggest challenges, as you just mentioned.
Seeing that, oh, look how much money I have. Nah, that's not how much you have.
Yeah.
leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah, that's when you need a good banker, right?
Yeah, good banker. Taxes is taxes, billing.
Yeah.
Those things are much harder, but you know, to hire someone to do that for you is almost not even worth it. It's worth it to be like, hey, I know how much you owe me.
Yeah. You're land surveyor, not like
I'm smart enough to know, understand numbers. I'm like, okay, I know how this works. I know what I can write off, what I can't, but
not the accountant.
Sometimes I could use some help.
Yeah.
Well, Jake's going to school for accounting now, just for you. Yeah. He's switching.
Jake's going to help you out.
He's giving up on communications, and
he's going to get a new job like every podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we're hiring Jake. Everybody's going to hire Jake.
Right.
Can do anything.
Yep. So you mentioned earlier, you know, like a lot of small sole proprietorships here in Arizona, and I'm sure in most states, that you're kind of a one man show. And one reason is, I'm sure, it's to keep costs down. And the other reason is that it's so freaking hard to find people.
Yeah. I've tried out people the last couple of years, and I've had three now that have lasted one day.
One day.
And they don't call back.
Where do you usually find these people from?
A couple of them are family, just so you know.
Home Depot.
Home Depot, right? Lowe's, man. I don't go for Home Depot. They're expensive. Home Depot, come on. No, I had two different family members that only lasted a day. One of them, actually, that I needed an advance and then never saw him again.
Oh, jeez.
I've had a couple different friends that are like, oh, man, you got to, if you ever need help, and just begging me. You know, one's a server at a bar I would go to and frequent. And he came out and he's like, man, I did not know this was going to be that hard. It doesn't look that hard. I'm like, yeah, I told you.
So just being in the heat, they give up after a day?
Not just the heat. I mean, like the constant, like, we have to do this. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to drive over here. Today, I told you earlier, I went from, I started in Tempe, where the cool incident happened. Then I went to Fountain Hills. Then I went back to Chandler and ended up over here in Central Phoenix. Before I even came here, I hit all those different projects and did something different at each one, and it ate up. You know, I started at, I left my house about 8:30 this morning, and I got here at 6:30.
That's a typical day.
Typical. For me, it is.
But, so how long is that big rig going to last you then, putting all those miles on it?
They just threw it. It's got 100 and almost 40 on it.
Does it really?
Yeah. They just threw a new transmission in it, which I end up being lucky about. Right before the warranty ran out, they put it in there. Tried to fight it. Oh, it's got a lift. I'm like, well, it had a lift when you sold it to me. So,
right.
You know, so
why do you think that is? You know, you mentioned people not being able to handle it, or it being harder than they expect, or whatever. I mean, what's the type of person that ideally, if you could pick somebody off the street, what would be the traits that person had?
You know, I think they've kind of got to have a free spirit and kind of open mind. They have to realize that what you see at face value isn't what you're going to get necessarily.
Right.
And you've got to be willing to work and realize that you're not going to jump in and make $65,000, $70,000 a year to start. It's not realistic. And that seems to be the case with a lot of the younger generation. They just want so much right now.
That was how they sold me at ASU taking engineering classes. They're like, you make 55 right out of college. And they didn't explain how hard it was.
To me, it's going to have to almost be someone like me where you just kind of like fall into it and figure out that you like it.
Yep.
Like, oh, man, I'm always somewhere different. I'm always doing something different. You're learning something new. Yeah, it's hard work, but you know, everything's hard work.
Yeah, no question. And I think you're right. I think everybody who has made a career out of land surveying definitely has a story. And you know, how they got
I didn't know this was going to be what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Don't know until it happens.
And I've seen it transitioned so much from from when I started.
Yeah.
You know, the old base that we had to start up on the damn thing. To now, I'm like, I don't even set up. I have the internet on my data collector. I have the internet. Half the time I don't set up a base. If I have to set up the robot, I get irritated. I'm like, oh, this bullshit.
So can you watch porn on your data collector?
I got enough jobs on there though to clean them out. I don't got enough room for that. But
he's got 18 other devices.
Cell phones right here, dude.
Yeah,
I got a body camera, motherfucker.
So I did have this idea for a data collector one time, and let me know what you think about it because you do a lot of topoing and things like that, right? And I mean, hell, as far as I know, maybe it even exists. I don't know, but I thought about having like a voice activated data collector. So after taking a shot, rather than having to like punch in the code for that point, you just say TC or you say top of curb or whatever, and it's voice recognition.
Right, man, that's
so
nice.
Siri on a data collector.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I can see how that would.
Seems like it'd be easy enough.
It would be so easy to do, I would think.
It does seem easy, but it's just like, okay, then the first thing you think is like, what are the issues you're going to run into right away?
Yeah.
Any kind of like noise, ambient noise.
True.
You guys being in the middle of an intersection might be a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, even when I've shown videos of me out in the intersection, you can't get that measurement any other way. I'm like, okay, well, maybe if I had something that was voice activated, I could send out there. Believe me, I would send a robot out there and be like, good luck, motherfucker. If this is your first time, you're sure to bleed. Hey, so that no,
dude,
that's,
you might be onto something.
I'm telling you,
we need a robot service.
I got a buddy who's making a robot for doing topos. I'm not kidding. His name's Matt Bombase. He's working on this Connect 202 project.
Oh, really?
He sent me a video of this little robot. He's making. He's weird like that. Makes things in his basement. Huh. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna make an auto topo thing. I'm gonna put Trimble out of business. I'm like, well, you might be able to do one of those.
Baby steps, yeah. Baby steps, here.
I'm like, but hey, and I'm like, you know what? That's a hell of an idea.
It's
a
great idea. Absolutely.
You know, because they use GPS in like agriculture. They'll just put in a map and those machines, the automated, they'll just go out there and go run through the fields. I mean, when I'd done machine control and modeling, things like that, you can just throw in a map into these machines and tell them, all right, this is the route you follow.
Make it work.
The operator, they just sit in there and that machine literally drives itself.
It's unbelievable. The technology. And you did a lot of that when you were at FNF,
Skanska, Kiewit. Yeah. I like the modeling portion of it. It's
were you building the models? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you were.
Building the models from scratch. And that's one of the things that irritated me most about that is these big companies is they have all this money, all this budget, but their survey budget was always the most minuscule, and they never came to the actual surveyors and said, how much do you think this is going to cost?
Yeah.
You know, and then they wanted the model built overnight. So with a model, you guys might know as well as I do, it isn't just something you just take from one program and put it into another. You got to check it. Sometimes you have to rebuild the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Nonstop fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah, and if it's not, you will get a call from the blade operator.
Eventually.
100%. This model's fucked up.
Should have paid me a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm having problems with the model. And I shit you not, they will be as vague as you can be. Hey, I'm having a problem with the model.
What's the matter?
Yeah.
Okay, where are you at? Well, I'm over here by this cul-de-sac. All right, can you fucking clear it up just a little bit? You know, you can't say that
to
them.
Are you in Phoenix, Tempe? Where are we at here?
I don't know. Right? And they're like, well, you know, and invariably, if they run into a spot where it jumps or whatever, where they think it shouldn't, they will stop. They won't just go and, let's go work on the area where we know it's still good. No, they'll stop right there in the tracks, call you and be like, hey, your model's fucked up.
You got to come to us. We are the important ones here.
So, I mean, the model's got to be perfect, and I'm sure you agree that that technology took away some work from surveyors.
It did, and which is unfortunate. I do have companies, too, that actually just pay me to set up their job site and
with
set up their collectors
and
with control and everything and load their collectors, and they kind of go and do their own thing.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, but I think it's just kind of a transition that's happening.
Right. There's still a need for surveyors.
There
definitely.
Still is, but you can't just be an old guy spinning angles, and it just that's not how things are anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. What I mean on that note, you know, one of the reasons that we decided to do this show was to, you know, of course, shed some light on the profession of surveying specifically. And one of the biggest problems that we have is a shortage of surveyors, not the need for surveyors, because the need is there, and sometimes in some cases even more than ever. But, you know, we as a profession have done such a shitty job about marketing what we do to the next generation.
Because people have no idea.
And it is catching up to us big time right now.
Now, Kent and I went to a school and did a presentation in front of 700 kids. One person knew what a land surveyor was the whole day.
Yeah, crazy. And these are high school kids.
Yeah, juniors and seniors.
And I honestly don't know what the fix is for that. I really don't. Because the only people who seem to know how important we are engineers, architects, you know, planning and development people at certain municipalities.
The engineers will never admit it, though.
Yeah, they won't.
Okay. Well, and in a lot of cases, we're kind of, and you know, no offense, the redheaded stepchild.
Right.
Some more appropriate than others.
Exactly.
All right, there you go.
It's unfortunate. So I'm curious. So you've been surveying for almost 20 years. If was there one thing, it could be a failure, I suppose, that maybe you can look back on and say, you know, that's something I learned a very valuable lesson from?
Oh, man, I think there's been enough of those to where you never know as much as you think you do. And you're going to run into situations all the time. Like, you know, I've made mistakes before. You know, I've gone onto a job and I thought I'd lay out a building totally perfectly, but at some point, you know, the instrument had gotten bumped and whatever. And I didn't know it.
Yep.
And you get the call from these guys and you come back out and you're like, oh man, I really did screw up. But I think the biggest difference I found and the thing that has helped me along is that our profession, more than anyone else, they expect us to be perfect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you aren't perfect, they will backcharge you. They will berate you. They will. Oh, that's. And all it takes is one time for you to screw up like that, and you have a bad name.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah. That's
so
unfortunate.
Like, there's been enough of those instances where I'm like, and obviously it's impossible to be perfect, but I'm like, I go so fucking far out of my way. I'm like, okay, let's double, triple check everything.
Yep.
Especially being on your own doing it.
Yeah, dude, it's scary.
Your name
it's
is everything.
There. Exactly. There's jobs I just won't even touch, like highway jobs, things like that. I'm like, nah, I don't have no interest in that. There's just, I know how they run. I'll do my little boundaries. I'll do ALTA. I'll do that kind of stuff.
Stay in your lane.
Yep.
Stay in your lane.
So not that I wouldn't love a big highway project I could just park on for 8 months.
So you work a shitload of hours.
I
you got a couple. You got a couple daughters. What do you do in your free time? What do you do for fun?
You know, as I'm getting a little older here, I'm finding I really like just doing stuff with them. I'm getting ready to start baseball again, of all things, which is, you know, I've had some injuries lately and surgeries and whatever, and I'm like, it's probably not a good idea, but the last time I went and just had a little fill-in spot and did something, I'm like, oh, you know what? I really need an outlet, because it felt so good to be out on a field and not think of anything else, but like, oh, I'm having fun playing. That's going to be my thing. And now that my daughter's getting a little older, like, you know, let's go camping. Let's go do this. I'm learning to, like, I like being a dad a lot more than I thought I was going to. You know? I'm like, when they're little and they're always so needy and everything, you're just like, oh, what the fuck do you want? You know? Shut up.
Just wait. They do become teenagers.
I know. Right? Yeah, my 11-year-old, oh, man, she's tripping me out. I'm like, okay, you need to stop putting on makeup and all that shit. Messing me up.
When my wife and I just found out we were having a boy, we literally high-fived in the ultrasound room. I was like, oh, I am so relieved right now. I don't know what to do with a girl.
God bless me with two girls. They're going to hate me. I'm like, get in line. You, your moms, and every other girl I've dated. No one likes me.
Oh, that's great. I don't know. I think that girls are easier earlier. Okay. Or no, easier. No, I think boys are easier when they're younger, And then girls get to be a little more difficult as they get older.
They get makeup.
Like as far as the teenage years go, you know, they start going through those chemical changes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was telling.
What about less expensive? I always think boys are less expensive.
Nah, dude,
I think boys are less expensive.
I had to pay a fucking $1,200 iPad for my daughter. Like, oh, and dance classes? Oh, and it's
exactly.
Yeah, no, boys are way cheaper on that.
Boys
like,
are way
golf
cheaper.
Lessons is the most expensive thing I have, and that's
there's some shorts and a
dance.
T-shirt. Go fucking play.
They need tutus and
let's not,
you know,
even,
all
let's
the
not
types
even get
of
started
dance.
On
dude,
weddings, right?
Oh, God. Weddings.
Yes, I get free on that one as well. I'll handle a rehearsal dinner and I'm out.
You know what? I think the only wedding I will ever pay for is my daughter's. Because I'm like, no one wants to marry my ugly ass. So, like, dodge the bullet. Kind of, you know.
That's great. That's great. What else? You guys got anything else for Mr.
Well,
Evans here?
What is the website we can find your business at? Where? How do? What's the best way to reach you?
Oh, Pornhub.com.
Tinder.
Swipe right, motherfucker. No, it's evanspro.com. www.evans-pro.com.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking at your hat, the EPLS hat, which is super cool. Does Elon Musk and Tesla
dude,
know
you
that
the,
you
like the fifth person? I didn't realize that it
you,
like
you stole their
that
font.
That might be a copyright issue.
I think we have an issue here.
I hope he comes to battle because here. The next person who yells at me like that dude today is getting smacked.
If Elon Musk is going to listen to this,
I didn't even think about
I might
it.
Have just hung your ass.
No, yeah. Okay, I'm glad that he invented the font too. That's.
I honestly think you're safe on this podcast so far. We'll see. You're in on the ground floor
here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
We did have Abe Lincoln. Elon Musk has got nothing on him.
Hey, you know what, though? I got to say, Tim, he followed it up pretty well.
I'll give him credit.
Absolutely. Super entertaining.
Yeah, dude,
provided some really good content. I mean, we...
Do you want to tell us anything about like the way that we should run the country with compassion or anything like that? Or
let's
you
know not get started.
You know what?
After today,
here's what
that.
I will tell you on it. Is I think that people are generally good until they're put in a position where they can let their true colors fly. I think most people are good people. They're going to be kind to people. They're going to try to help you out and everything until they're put into a situation where they're extremely agitated, extremely emotional, whatever. And then you're going to see their ugly side come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even the idiot that did that shit today, I got like, hard feelings against him. I'm like, all right, cool. Like,
somebody was having a bad day.
You didn't like getting yelled at. All right, cool. I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
In the moment, things happen. You move on.
You should have heard some shit I've said over the year. I'm like, nothing like that.
That was when the body cam gets turned off when he starts talking. He's like, here, you talk on, then we'll turn this off while I talk.
Exactly.
I think that guy was just I can't even imagine what was going through his head there, but to see his emotions and everything at that edge, I couldn't have been the only thing that he was mad at.
Yeah,
no, there's
more
no
to
way.
It than that.
Yeah. After seeing that video, and I mean, kudos to you for handling it as well as you did. You know, and
you know what? You and almost everyone else are like, how did you, in particular, you, not lash out, not start swinging? I'm like, dude, like at some point you're just like, you know what, you're just an asshole.
We've referenced it enough. Do you post it on YouTube or somewhere? Where
it's
where
on
can
my
people...
Facebook. It's okay.
Find Tim Evans.
Tim
on
Evans
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Take every racist viral video you've ever had, like bunch them together, and then that's what's happened to me today.
All right.
You never thought it would happen to you, right?
Never, dude. It was funny. I remember calling you first, and I'm like, dude, he's not gonna fucking believe this. But I have video, so he has to believe it.
Yeah. And even after seeing that video, based on our conversation, I was like, oh my god. It's like something you see like every day on the news these days.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's crazy.
Are you kidding me? I'm out there just trying to feed my family.
Exactly.
That's what we're all doing.
Well, Tim,
I do have to give him credit. He did bring it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I thought Lincoln, you know, there was no way.
Yep.
But
nope, not
you showed up.
Did
you
not let us down
you
in
performed.
Any way. In
it was
any
two
way.
Two
absolutely.
Tequila shots. I'm like going in there ready for battle.
So on that note, Tim, we thank you. We thank you for being a guest. We hope you'll come back.
Oh, yeah,
we'd
definitely.
Love to have you. There's plenty more we could talk about, and
just go hang out in some more intersections and see what we can find.
I know, dude. I'll just put my body camera on the way home. Something's bound to fucking happen.
Yeah, and we appreciate everything you're doing for the profession and the professionalism that you show. So, thank you again for giving us your time. We appreciate it.
You are welcome.
On that note, boys, you got anything else?
TheGeoholics.com, TheGeoholics on Twitter. Follow us.
Thanks for chiming in so much, Jake.
Leave us a review on Apple, please. Five star review. Yep. Got to push that marketing.
He comes in the business end of things.
All This is our lawyer.
Exactly. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you again for everybody that is listening. We look forward to many more of these podcasts.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Social Hall. Thanks, Black Moods.
Absolutely. Till next time, stay safe, everybody. Fight if you want. I'm the one you can't resist.